You are navigating a world where human values, concepts like justice, fairness, and dignity, are no longer merely subjects of philosophical debate. They are being engineered. Today's deep dive into the source material examines a severe and rapidly escalating tension. We are looking at the vast canyon between how human beings experience ethical values conceptually and how those exact same values must be rigidly mathematically defined for an algorithm.
It is arguably the defining academic challenge of this era. When we discuss ethics in a university seminar, we rely on the inherent flexibility of human language. We have the luxury of nuance. We have context and ambiguity.
Right. An algorithm does not. Code cannot process ambiguity at all. It requires a binary mathematical threshold.
Exactly. And to understand the gravity of translating moral philosophy into executable code, the lecture we are examining today grounds us in a highly consequential environment, the United States judicial system. Specifically, we are looking at pretrial incarceration.
Right. Our sources center on algorithmic bias, looking at the competing frameworks of individual versus group fairness and a seemingly intractable dilemma between privacy and fairness. We're moving entirely beyond abstract theory to look at how these concepts actually function and frequently break down within real-world predictive models. So to set the intellectual stage, let us look at the reality of predictive justice. The scenario is this. An individual is arrested. They have not been tried.
They have not been found guilty of anything.
Exactly. They are legally innocent. They are brought before a judge, and that judge faces a singular monumental decision. Grant bail and allow the individual to return home pending trial, or hold them in a jail cell.
We need to pause right there and examine the teleological versus deontological clash happening in that exact moment.
Unpack those terms for us. What is the fundamental clash happening when a judge looks at a legally innocent person?
It comes down to two competing branches of ethics. From a strictly deontological perspective, an ethics based on absolute rules and individual rights, jailing someone before they are proven guilty is a glaring injustice. It is a fundamental violation of human liberty. You are punishing someone for a crime the state has not proven they committed.
So the only way the judicial system justifies this massive violation of rights is through a teleological framework.
Which prioritizes the ultimate outcome for society, yes. The teleological logic argues that the pursuit of social welfare specifically, preventing a highly dangerous individual from committing a violent crime while awaiting trial, supersedes that individual's immediate short-term right to liberty.
It is a profound moral gamble. The judge is effectively being asked to predict the future behavior of a legally innocent person. And human judges are, well, notoriously flawed at predicting the future.
They carry their own massive biases.
Right. So to make this prediction more objective, the justice system introduced an algorithm. The specific tool analyzed in our source material is known as COMPASS, the Correctional Offender Management Profiling for Alternative Sanctions. What is the explicit purpose of this system?
Its purpose is singular and highly ambitious. COMPASS is designed to ingest data about an arrested individual and output a mathematical prediction regarding their likelihood to commit another crime if they are released.
Which brings us to the technical translation of a human life. To predict the future, this algorithm has to quantify the past and the present. I was looking at the granular data points this system requires, and it does not merely look at a criminal record. It doesn't just count the number and severity of past offenses. It demands an incredibly broad spectrum of human experience. It factors in age, gender, education level, employment history.
But it goes much further into deeply personal territory.
It really does. The system evaluates drug use, mental health status, and extensive social history. It measures family and community support structures. It even incorporates histories of domestic violence and child abuse.
There is something incredibly dystopian about a machine essentially grading someone's childhood trauma to decide if they get bail.
I understand why a predictive model would want that data, but how does an algorithm actually process something as complex as a history of child abuse?
Academics call this process epistemic flattening. Think of it like taking the plot of a complex, heartbreaking 500-page novel and trying to summarize its emotional weight using a single spreadsheet cell.
A history of child abuse is a profound, complex human trauma.
But in the architecture of COMPASS, it is stripped entirely of its narrative context. It is reduced to a statistical weight. Deeply personal human experiences are transformed into a risk score. And the judge looks at that resulting number to decide whether this human being sleeps in their own bed or in a concrete cell.
Which brings us to the core conflict of the source material. If we are using a machine to determine human liberty, the machine absolutely must be fair. But the moment you try to define fairness mathematically, you trigger an immediate systemic breakdown. The lecture presents a fundamental schism in how algorithmic fairness is calculated. We have the methodology built into Compass, and we have a major critique formulated by the public interest research group, ProPublica. Let us examine both frameworks strictly on their mathematical and philosophical merits. How did the architects of Compass define fairness?
Compass operates on the principle of individual fairness. Mathematically, the creators of the algorithm ensured that its predictive accuracy was proportional regardless of race. The system was calibrated so that a black defendant and a white defendant with the exact same resulting risk profile were treated equally by the math.
So the proportions were the anchor here. If I am reading the data correctly, the proportion of black defendants and white defendants who were sent home correctly, meaning they did not reoffend, was roughly the same. And the proportion sent home incorrectly, meaning they were granted bail but did go on to reoffend, was also the same.
That is correct.
Crucially, the proportion of people who were jailed correctly and the proportion jailed wrongfully were proportionally equivalent between black and white defendants.
That is the mathematics of individual fairness. If you possess a specific statistical risk profile, your mathematical outcome is identical, regardless of your demographic category. The system is transparently consistent from person to person.
That sounds entirely logical on its face.
Yeah.
So where does the critique come in? How could ProPublica look at that exact same math and argue that the system is fundamentally flawed?
Because ProPublica introduced a counter framework centered entirely on group fairness. Their methodology rejects the individual as the primary unit of ethical measurement. They argue that fairness must be evaluated by looking at the aggregate outcomes of entire demographic groups. And specifically, they focus on mitigating the worst possible outcome in the system.
In this context, the absolute worst case scenario is a false positive. It is an individual being unnecessarily jailed, deprived of their liberty when they were, in fact, not going to commit a crime.
Exactly. ProPublica argued that proportional parity, the Compass method, is insufficient if the underlying base rates of arrest differ between communities.
Let us ground that concept for a second, because base rates can sound a bit abstract.
Yeah.
Are we talking about something akin to grading on a curve?
It is a very similar dynamic. Imagine a standardized test given to two different classrooms. Classroom A has had access to elite tutors all year, while Classroom B has been severely underfunded and lacked a permanent teacher. If you apply the exact same grading standard to every individual student, say a 90% is an A, you are applying individual fairness. Everyone is judged by the exact same metric.
But because the underlying baseline of preparation is different, the aggregate group outcomes will be vastly different. Classroom A might produce 20 A's, while Classroom B produces only 2.
Right. And if you apply that logic to the justice system, ProPublica's framework demands that fairness be achieved by looking at the raw numbers, not the proportions. They are looking at the actual literal headcount of people sitting in jail cells who do not deserve to be there.
Yes, this is where the mathematical reality of group fairness becomes incredibly stark. To achieve the fairness ProPublica advocates, the algorithm's thresholds cannot remain uniform across all individuals. The system must be statistically intervened upon.
The predictive weights must be artificially rearranged so that the exact same raw number, again, not the proportion, but the literal headcount of black and white defendants are improperly jailed.
Wait, so if the underlying populations and arrest rates are not perfectly symmetrical to begin with, how do you force an identical raw number of false positives on both groups?
You have to execute a heavy manipulation of the algorithm's internal logic. You are essentially forced to set different risk thresholds for different demographics to manually balance the worst-case ledger.
And what is the real-world fallout of doing that? If you tweak the math to force those raw numbers to match, something else has to break, right?
It does. The laws of probability dictate that if you force an equal raw number of improper jailings across groups with different statistical base rates, you mathematically guarantee a massive imbalance on the other side of the equation.
The false negatives.
Precisely. By adjusting the model to satisfy ProPublica's requirement for group fairness, a far, far higher proportion of black defendants who are sent home will go on to commit crimes compared to white defendants.
Let me make sure I'm grasping the scale of this. The system is mathematically forced to accept a higher rate of released offenders. People who will go on to commit crimes in one demographic, strictly to maintain a perfectly balanced raw number of unnecessarily jailed individuals across both demographics.
That is the inescapable statistical consequence. You are mitigating false positives by dramatically increasing false negatives, We are left with a philosophical stalemate that defines modern algorithmic governance. You have two highly defensible, completely irreconcilable ethical frameworks.
It is paralyzing. On one hand, is it more ethical to deploy an algorithm that evaluates every individual transparently by the exact same proportional metrics, completely blind to historical group disparities? Or, on the other hand, is it more ethical to actively engineer the algorithm to rebalance historical outcomes, explicitly protecting entire demographic groups from the absolute worst-case scenario, even if doing so degrades individual accuracy and increases the overall risk of crime to the public?
Both frameworks lay claim to the concept of justice.
But the mathematics of prediction prove that you cannot have both simultaneously. Optimizing for individual fairness guarantees disparate group impacts. Optimizing for group fairness guarantees disparate individual treatment. This zero-sum reality is not a programming error. It is a fundamental law of statistical modeling.
Vague human consensus regarding what is fair shatters the moment it must be formalized into code.
And this structural limitation scales far beyond the criminal justice system. The source material pivots from the specific mechanisms of COMPASS to a much broader systemic contradiction in AI design. It presents an architectural paradox that governs every predictive model currently being integrated into society. Whether it is an AI evaluating resumes for a corporate job, an algorithm approving home mortgages, or software determining medical triage in a hospital, the same paradox applies. You cannot simultaneously maximize privacy and maximize fairness.
The dilemma is absolute. Let us examine the technical demand of fairness first. If society requires an algorithm to be fair, we must have the ability to audit that system for algorithmic bias. If a bank uses an AI to approve mortgages, we need to know if it is unfairly denying loans to a specific demographic.
But you cannot verify if a tool is treating men and women equally, or Jewish and Christian applicants equally, or homosexual and heterosexual users equally, unless the system explicitly possesses that data to begin with.
Precisely. To prove the absence of bias, developers must actively extract highly sensitive demographic information from the users. The mathematics of an audit require total visibility. You cannot test for racial bias if the machine does not know the race of the applicants.
Which flies directly in the face of the imperative of privacy. The ethical demand of privacy dictates that individuals should not be forced to disclose their religious beliefs, their sexual orientation, or their racial identity to a machine just to apply for a job or get a loan. The pursuit of privacy requires that algorithms be intentionally blinded to these sensitive attributes.
But if you blind the algorithm to protect privacy, how do you know the algorithm hasn't learned to discriminate using proxy data? For example, if you hide race from a mortgage algorithm to protect privacy, the AI might realize that certain zip codes correlate with higher default rates. It begins denying loans based on zip codes.
And because neighborhoods are often historically segregated, the algorithm is now effectively discriminating based on race, using geography as a proxy.
Exactly. But because you prioritized privacy and deleted the racial data, you have no mathematical way to prove the algorithm is being racist. You cannot run the audit.
This creates a brutal trap for you, the listener, and for society at large. If we elevate privacy as the highest ethical value, AI developers must aggressively delete and ignore demographic information. But by doing so, it becomes epistemically impossible to know if the algorithm is secretly acting with bias. The system becomes a black box. You have absolute privacy, but you have entirely surrendered the ability to mathematically prove that the system is treating people justly.
Conversely, if fairness is elevated as the supreme ethical value, then massive systematic violations of privacy become a mandatory technical requirement. You must build a surveillance architecture that categorizes the immutable traits of every citizen, extracting their most private identifiers solely to ensure the algorithm's outputs remain mathematically balanced and auditable. The data must be harvested.
Synthesizing the core academic takeaways from this material reveals a sobering reality about our trajectory. For centuries, human societies have relied on the inherent ambiguity of language to balance competing ethical values. We allow concepts like justice, privacy, and social welfare to coexist in a state of flexible, often messy tension. But when we offload societal decision-making to algorithms, ambiguity is eliminated. We are forced to mathematically prioritize one ethical good at the direct, calculated expense of another.
Code does not compromise. It executes. We can no longer pretend that all human values are mutually compatible when subjected to the rigors of probability and statistical logic.
The architecture of our future requires decisions that philosophy alone can no longer defer. So we leave you with this final thought. If you are the architect of a predictive system governing society, which moral imperative do you sacrifice? Do you systematically violate human privacy, demanding invasive data collection and total surveillance to guarantee a mathematically auditable fair society? Or do you protect personal privacy at all costs, accepting that by blinding the system, you may be unleashing unchecked systemic biases into the world? The algorithm forces a choice. What's yours?